Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome back to Overnight America. Even though we just had a couple of minutes together, now we get to spend the night together. Just like the Rolling Stones sang about. I'm pretty sure that's what they were singing about. Late night talk shows. It's probably true. So it's 106 in St. Louis. And thank you. Thank you for hanging on after the Cardinals game. Big win for them. And you heard in your newscast, Megan's awesome, by the way. She does such a great job. But I listened to Kevin Killeen, and they set up that news report as if he was there stalking the judge, waiting to hear what would happen next. It's interesting. It is to find out what's going to be in the judge's mind. Mayor Crewson speaks about the Stockley case. I have audio from that coming up this hour, and we'll talk about it and take your calls, too. If anything has changed in your mind, or what do you think is going to happen next to the city? Also, we'll look at Hurricane Category 4 or 5. It's heading towards Puerto Rico. Governor Rick Scott in Florida, what's going to happen when it hits landfall? If it does at all, where is it going to hit is the big question. And it could by Sunday. So what's the latest there? We'll look at Hurricane Irma. So first, I want to talk about Texas. And we're still reeling from Hurricane Harvey. It's really amazing the 1-2 punch these hurricanes are packing right now. And I want to remind you that this Friday, we're just a couple of days away, that KMOX, along with our sister stations, and of course the Teamsters Joint Council 13, the American Red Cross, Schnucks Market, and the St. Louis Cardinals and St. Louis Blues all ready to collect money and cleaning supplies for the victims of Hurricane Harvey. I got an email update today from our program director, and this is what it said. It said, the Blues will be providing vouchers for a pair of tickets. That's awesome. Some for preseason games, others for a game in October, another one for a game in November. Cardinals will be providing vouchers for pairs of tickets to the next season, 2018. That's awesome. And it looks like we may have some special guests that will be stopping by the Schnucks Market, which will be on the Butler Hill location from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. A couple of different people will be out. Tom Ackerman will be there in the morning representing, doing the hashtag and showing what sports is all about. We know the Cardinals and the Blues care. So do we. So Tom Ackerman will be out there doing his thing for Total Information AM. And then Charlie Brennan will be broadcasting live his show from there. Mark Reardon will be broadcasting his show live as well. And then I'll be doing cut-ins during the day during the Rush Limbaugh program. So I'll be out as well. But this is what I heard. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on air. I'm just going to do it anyway. I might get in trouble. But I got the notice that we expect to see Fred Bird stop by. We expect to see Louis stop by. And we may even see some Cardinal alumni and Blues players alumni making an appearance at the Schnucks Marketplace on Friday. Isn't that awesome? Now, since the Cardinals are over on the West Coast, unfortunately, we can't get any current ones. But, hey, if you could come out and drop a donation off for Hurricane Harvey, or, you know, even better, you can drop off a donation on behalf of your entire office. If you're a business owner, hey, if you're a business owner, you know how this works. You can look real, real good by coming out, dropping off a nice check. And of course, you know what happens. We got to show some love for the people that show some love for Hurricane Harvey. So if you want to get your office together, get some supplies together, get some money together, start taking those donations, drop them by on Friday because we'll be more than happy to come out, say hi, and thank you for your help. STL for Houston. And it's the Butler Hill Road location. And, you know, you can, even if you're just shopping at Schnucks this week, when you're at the register, they're going to say, hey, would you like to donate $1 for Hurricane Harvey? Would you like to donate $5, $10, whatever it is, do it. It's going to help, and it's going to go a long way. You know, the Blues, by the way, this is up at KMOX.com. Mike Yeo played 5 seasons in the IHL for the Houston Aeros. He wants to help the city, and what they're going to be doing, the Blues has created an online auction for fans to bid on. So you can go to the St. Louis Blues website. I'm sure it's up there, but I got this from KMOX.com. There's a link inside the article there. Here's a couple of auction items they're going to be doing. This is really cool. One of the auction items is a road trip for two to see the Blues battle Dallas on the road December 28th. The trip includes two seats to the team's charter, accommodations to the team hotel, and tickets to the game. Two tickets. All right. Fathers, think about this. Christmas is right before that. Could you imagine springing that in? You and your son go on a little road trip with the Blues down to Dallas. That is awesome. Listen, if you and your son or your daughter, whatever, if you want to go on a trip down there, tell me that wouldn't be an awesome, awesome gift, knowing that you're going to be able to help Hurricane Harvey and you're doing it with the Blues at the same time. 1 hour youth hockey practice session coached by Mike Yeo. And you also have a Game Worn Winter Classic jacket. That's kind of cool. You can say, oh, the coach wore this. Ah, that'll look really neat. Those jackets are pretty sweet, too. 4 plaza-level tickets, 4 glass seats to opening night versus Dallas on October 7th at the Scott Trade Center. These are all things you can bid on. 4 tickets or 4 passes to the Sub-Zero Vodka Bar at the mutually agreed-upon Blues home game. I don't exactly know what that is, but I'm sure there's people listening right now that says, I know what that is, and you want to go bid on it, too. But the bidding is currently going on until Friday, so if you wish, go bid. If you want to get one of those things, tell me how awesome that road trip went would be. Oh, that would be such a great Christmas gift. Just do it now and don't tell them. You know how hard it will be. If you win that thing, you know how hard it's going to be to keep that secret from your kids. Or maybe you and the wife want to go, or you and the husband, whatever it is. You know, just think about where that money's going. It's going to help Hurricane Harvey victims. And all of the donated items, all of the money, it's all going straight down. And it's all going to help some people that could use a hand right about now. So we'll be out this Friday, Schnucks Market, Butler Hill Road location. I hope to see you out there. And, you know, I'm sure Mark Reardon will be happy to see you. Charlie will be happy. Tom Ackerman. They'll all be happy to see you. But I'll be, if you're a listener of Overnight America, I'll be extremely happy to see you. I'd love to meet any of you, especially the regulars that call in. That's pretty neat. All right, so this hour, the Stockley case. What can we expect there? Mayor Crewson speaks. What does she have to say? Is it all about law and order? We're going to find out. We'll take your calls, too. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX. So what's going to happen with the Stockley case? It's a lot of eyes are on this because, you know, as unpredictable as this hurricane is, it's unpredictable the reaction to this case. It's almost like we're trying to track what will happen next. City officials go out to the courthouse and they start putting up those barriers in case there's protesting, which there's nearly guaranteed to be protesting at some point, regardless of what the verdict is. And we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen next. So the attorney for the Smith family has called for calm when Stockley verdict is announced. This story posted at KMOX.com. Al Watkins, legal counsel for the fiance and surviving child of Anthony Lamar Smith, issued a statement Friday morning urging people to be calm when the verdict of Jason Stockley murder trial is announced. I really thought the announcement would have happened on Friday. Why? Because, well, they started putting the barriers up. It was a holiday weekend. It seems like, what, Friday at 6 o'clock? That's when announcements come out. You know, maybe there's less people paying attention during a news cycle on the holiday weekend. And, you know, people wouldn't be coming back to the office till Tuesday. So give some time and buffer. And I thought, wow, that's kind of like, that is the time, if you were going to do something, that would be the time to schedule it, but that's not the case. So we still have barriers up. You heard during the news there with Kevin Killeen reporting. It's now just trying to figure out, is the verdict reached, and we're just waiting to find out what will happen next? Are they going to call people back to court? Are they just going to release a statement? How's this going to work? Well, earlier today, Lyda Crewson, mayor of St. Louis, released a YouTube video talking about what's going to happen next with a city on edge.
I'd like to visit with you for a minute about the pending Stockley case. The newscasts, newspapers, blogs, and social media are all filled with speculation about when and what the verdict will be in the Stockley case.
First, no love for radio? You'll say blogs and TV and stuff, but no radio? Come on. All right, that's just a nitpicking thing.
I don't know that. I don't know the verdict, and I don't know when it will come.
She's got to be tired of answering questions. You must know, because there's barriers up. You must know what the verdict is. Okay, so she's probably just tired of answering questions at this point. So I get the retaliation video, stop asking type of video. She all but yelled it.
But I do know that there's a lot of anxiety and worry in our community as we wait for that decision. We stand again on edge, awaiting a legal decision that will have a major impact on the lives of many.
Okay. Why? That's kind of an interesting way to phrase it. So, an impact on many lives? So, it's interesting. So, let's say Stockley is found guilty. So, his life, yes, there'll be an impact on that life in his family. Okay. Let's say he's found innocent, as in there wasn't enough evidence or the charges that were brought up against him. There's no way to tell, right? There's no sure way to tell. And he's found innocent. So then whose lives will be affected? Because the person that was driving the car and was trying to be stopped by police, the person that police accuse had a weapon, and that's what caused them to fire and Stockley to shoot this suspect, Anthony Lamar Smith, his life, it's already over, okay? So in the family, this we're talking about years ago, the family for the most part moved on. So is Mayor Crewson at this time saying that the many lives affected will be those that they're anticipating to come out to protest? I want to know what she means by that. I'm just curious what she means by that. And if you hear anything that you want to talk about in this, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I'm just going to tell you, I really feel my gut feeling is that it's going to be not guilty. Because when I read the evidence, when I watch the video, and he was already found not guilty, they tried to bring back more charges on him, or they tried to revisit it with new evidence, okay? So I look at what that new evidence is, and I think, okay, is there enough for a reasonable doubt to be completely wiped away? Is there enough for him to be convicted? And I think, okay, no, I just don't see there being enough evidence. It doesn't mean he didn't do it. All I'm saying is I don't think there is enough evidence. So I really think they're going to come back with a not guilty verdict. Okay, let's go to clip number two, Lida Cruzin here.
People who were or who are our neighbors, our sons, our dads, and our friends. We're on edge because we have watched in this country and in our region that legal decisions can and do result in families and sometimes entire communities being left without a sense of justice.
Okay. So what is she trying to set up here? Are you trying to say that the judges are biased if you don't get your way? Are you trying to say you don't trust your justice system in your own city? You don't trust your police? Is this what you're saying? Yeah, I'm confused here. I'm really confused.
I hope we will all learn more about the laws and policies that close the doors for some while leaving them open for others. We now live in a time where the tensions caused by those laws and those policies affect us all in our daily lives.
You know, I wish she was acting more specific here. So what laws are causing tensions? It all comes back to relative to what? Relative to the way you feel about your police force? I don't understand. She's speaking so vague, and it leads me to believe that, it's making it very clear where the bias might be here. It's very confusing. This video has caused more questions than answers.
It is our choice now to continue to yell past each other and keep our minds closed, or to consider how we might acknowledge what we've inherited, how we might learn about it, and how to choose a different way forward. These are our neighbors, our fellow citizens, our co-workers. Mm-hmm. Without all of us working to acknowledge and understand this history, how we hurt, how we heal, and how we help each other, we won't grow as individuals.
Okay. Now, it's easy to say that. It's easy to say these are our neighbors, right? The people that are in our community. It's the people that you drive by every day. It's the people that you wait in line with at the grocery store. It's the people that are trying to get a burger just like you. It's the people that go to one of the great festivals. It's the people that are going to the Cardinals games. These are the same people that you are in the same boat with because we're in the same community all together. That's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. And we need to understand that, and I think we do. But it's the problem that that when I hear the way people, when they speak like this, when they say, okay, we need to do this, we need to do that, you're obviously not trying to come to the table in an unbiased way. It seems like you already have your mind made up, your mindset, and this is on both sides. If you're not going to have an honest discussion on anything, or if you automatically believe, and let's say, I'm not saying this is for Mayor Crewson, but I'm saying if you already believe that the police are bad and they hide guns on crime scenes and they always racially profile and they are the enemy. If you're coming to the table believing all these things and you think, you know, the only way we can talk is if you believe that very same thing. Otherwise, we are going to revolt and we're going to protest. It may go violent. We'll see how it goes. That is no way to conduct yourself. That is no way to conduct any type of negotiation. And it's not even meant to be a negotiation. There should be things we all agree on. We should all agree on we don't want violence. We should all agree on we want justice, right? But you can't just say, I want justice the way I see justice. You have to actually stand for the things that have been brought out. You have to look at the evidence and you have to go through this process. You have to look at the way justice is in America. And you just can't say, well, I don't like the way that jury voted. I don't like the way that judge came out with the verdict. Thus, the justice system is wrong. You know, it doesn't work like that. And that's what I'm afraid we're doing right now. I'm afraid that's what's going to happen. We're going to continue with Mayor Crewson.
As we await this legal decision, please don't let the anxiety, the worry, and the pain determine how we treat each other. Try to understand the reactions of others and be open to what we don't understand in others' reactions.
That's good. I mean, that's a good way to put that. It's a good way to say that, and we can say that to both sides, as in we can say it to the people that want to protest and the people that don't want to protest and don't understand. We can say that to both, right? Here, we'll continue with the mayor.
Ask ourselves how we might feel if it were our son, daughter, mom, dad, or friend at the center of this legal decision. Mm-hmm. Ask ourselves if we can turn this anxiety and distrust into steps towards healing. Don't answer in terms of what other people should or shouldn't do or think. I am asking, what can I do? What can I learn? I hope you will join me.
Boy. All right. Well, it would be easy. It would be easy to join the mayor in a instance like this. It would be a lot easier for me to look at this case and say, if I knew where she stood, if she's standing on peace and justice, then it would be easy for me to say I stand with the mayor. But I just, when I listen to that, I don't, it's so generalized. It doesn't seem like anything to me. You know, sometimes you got to get past this politician mode and you got to show some emotions and you got to be able to stand up for your city, stand up for your police, stand up for the justice system. You have to be able to do these sort of things. And you got to say, hey, if justice says he's guilty, we're going to stand by that. If justice says he's not guilty, we're going to stand by that. We're not just going to go out and work on our emotions based on the way we think it should have gone. Especially if that's going to escalate to violence. But I want to take your calls on this. We got a couple people lined up. So 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Now that you've heard the mayor, does this help? Does this help? I'm wondering on KMOX. All right, just heard from the mayor. What do you think here? What should we be doing next? What is your gut feeling when it comes to this case? So anytime now we can find out the verdict in the Stockley case. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120 is the number. Let's go to Jeff, who's been holding on from Ferguson. Jeff, what's going on?
Nothing much. Just listening to your comments with the mayor's speech today.
Mm-hmm.
And at some points, it's almost like she was getting ready to, or sounding like she was trying to excuse what might happen if there is a not guilty verdict. Almost, if there's any violence, almost sounded like she was trying to get us to excuse it or understand it.
Uh-huh. When I saw the video, it was just her standing there, and it was, you know, there was a script, of course. I don't know if there was a teleprompter, if she's reading off of cue cards or something like that. But I just wish there was something more definite there for me to grab onto, because it's, when you talk and it's so vague like that, it makes me believe that she's opening the window for, you know, people that want to do things they shouldn't be doing in the city, as in violent protesting.
Yeah, I have no problem with legitimate, peaceful protest. That's guaranteed in the Constitution. But when they get violent, that's what she was almost sounding like she was sounding to excuse.
Yeah, because that's where I look at something like this and I say, okay, we need to understand their emotions. And when I hear that type of talk, it's kind of like excusing to say, well, if they're angry and it leads to throwing bricks through windows, then we need to understand that sort of thing. Kind of like what they said in Baltimore. And it's like, no, that's no. You cannot excuse that type of behavior.
Yeah, well, like I said, if they want a peaceful protest, if anyone wants to protest peacefully after the verdict.
I agree. No, I agree. Yeah. And you know what? That's kind of what they've already showed preemptively. They've been very, very upfront in saying there will be protests. So we know that's going to happen at some point. And we also know that we don't know how those things could go. We just don't.
Yeah, personally, everything I've read up on, because it happened in 2011, and I wasn't aware of that shortly after that, the whole Ferguson thing blew up. Mm-hmm. Sounds like to me it could go either way. The judge could go either way.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, Jeff. Hey, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you.
You too.
All right, so the KMOX story, you can get this too. Former St. Louis police officer Jason Stockley charged with first-degree murder, but the lawyer for Anthony Lamar Smith has a couple of quotes in here. Where was the quote here? It said, regardless of the verdict, the commitment of the state to prosecute Mr. Stockley is in itself an important part of all that is justice. Watkins, the lawyer there, called for everyone in the following trial to be patient. To the extent Mr. Smith can leave a legacy to his child to embrace, it is hoped our city can use a pre-Ferguson tragic loss of life to serve a catalyst for post-Ferguson healing, he said. Authorities said that during a pursuit, Stockley can be heard on an in-car video telling his partner that he's going to kill that blank or kill this blank or whatever it is. So there's things that were brought up in the video, and I watched the video. Very poor choice of words and, you know, really inexcusable. The choice of those words, this is how I looked at this case. I said, okay, if I was a lawyer, or if I was someone that was sitting on that jury and I heard that part of the evidence, I would think to myself, and I'm sure the prosecutors would put out the case, you know, because he said that doesn't mean there's evidence that that was the motivation or there was any motivation there. So you have to separate that. And watching the video, you know, even from the cell phone footage that was recorded outside of the police footage that was released, even watching it over and over and over, I didn't see anything in the officer's hand. It didn't look like he dropped anything down there. I think that footage that was recorded by the bystander is incredibly important, mostly because it puts a different angle so we can see things differently. And I think it kind of adds that, I think it adds a perspective that the judge is going to look at and say, you know, this kind of means that even if we can look at two different versions of footage and you can't see anything, I don't know how you could find a guilty verdict after something like that. If that is the main purpose of the prosecutors at this point, if the main evidence to retry this case is that he may have drawn a gun or there was DNA on the gun, but not of the suspect, Anthony Lamar Smith, but there was DNA of the police officer, Jason Stockley. If that is bringing it all back up, you'd think you'd be able to see a gun that was dropped there, but you just couldn't. So it's going to be so hard, I think, for the judge to look at that and say it's a guilty verdict. And that's where you just get scared. You just don't know where it's going to go. A couple other things I want to talk about. You know, Larry called in, but we didn't get to Larry's call. But either way, you know, all the news organizations are waiting and watching. We don't know when anything's going to come out. I don't know if it's a good idea should they come out and say, yeah, it's probably in our best interest to schedule the verdict, as in, you know, at this day and time, we're going to announce the verdict. Or is it better for them to just wait till like a, you know, 6 o'clock at night or something like that and drop the verdict? Maybe it's better for it to happen quietly, but you know, it's not gonna, nothing happens quiet anymore. This poor judge is going to be put into a position where, you know, that's kind of what judges, it happens. I don't think judges necessarily like these high-profile cases. I don't think they like the attention. Do they? Yeah, maybe they do, maybe they don't. So 314-436-7900-800-925-1120. And there's other articles here that have been coming out. If you want to follow it, just go to camox.com. And you can follow this along. Kevin Colleen's been doing a great job covering this. Same thing with Brian Kelly, who's been spending a lot of time in the courtroom. Let's go to DJ calling in from St. Louis. DJ, what's going on? DJ, are you
Hello?
There? Oh, hi.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I look at this that he's going to get off. And the situation has been a history of situations like this. I mean, you can go back to the jury that was back during the Civil Rights era when they killed a young guy from Kansas City. I mean, they had the law there. They had the judges and the juries, and they all had their mind made up. And in that situation, that really hasn't changed.
What year was that?
Excuse me?
What year was that?
That was way back in the end of the 50s.
Okay, so in the 50s. Yeah.
So in that situation, I mean, you had the judge, you had the jury, you had the police there. But justice was lacking. And they got those guys, about 50 years later for what they had done?
Mm-hmm.
There was a court of law. There were law enforcement officers there. There were judges.
Yeah.
So in that situation, that mentality hasn't changed.
Well, no, I think things have changed. You don't think things have changed since the 50s the way people think?
Not really. I can give you a background. Number one, I've been a cop, and I've been on the radio the way you've been on.
Mm-hmm.
So in that situation, if you look at it, number one, how many police officers, once they make a mistake, are sent to the same jail that you or I would go to if we made that mistake?
They try to separate them for security purposes, but for
okay, let's drop the security. If that situation was they put me in jail, they put you in jail, and they go to the same jail, how many mistakes do you think would be made? How many behaviors like this would follow? If they realized one of their own that made that mistake went down there and they didn't live that long in that cell.
Well, they do this, too, with high-profile cases, too. I mean, they do that with non-police officers, too, in any high-profile case.
Follow my thinking. If you were that cop and you got sent to the jail that you sent everybody else to, what would the other guys on the force think about law enforcement and justice for all being a blanket statement? Not because you're a cop, you get to go someplace else. Because if I'm a citizen and I make a mistake, you're sending me down there and my life may be threatened, et cetera.
Mm.
So we had a system whereby if you made this mistake as a law enforcement officer, you took it on yourself because of your emotion or racially how you felt about this person or that person, what would happen? I think that would change the thought of a lot of law enforcement officers. But in this situation we're in right now, say you were a Klansman and I was a Black Panther. Who do you think would get the job as a police officer?
Why do you think those two things would give a favor to an application of a police officer? You really believe that?
If you think one would have
favor over the other?
If you go back to that first case I was telling you about, when that young man was killed down there in the South, you know, he was from Chicago. He came there to visit. You had judge, juries. You had lawyers there. You had people that were witnesses. Why was that an injustice then? How come they couldn't see the truth then? What makes you think it has changed now?
So are you talking about the case from the 50s you brought up earlier?
Yes.
Okay.
What has changed?
A lot has changed in race relations from the 50s. You know, 60 years have passed from that. You really don't believe that.
I'll give you another example.
Well, real quick, because we got to go to break, but one more example.
Okay. After the Simpson situation, why did the complexion of the jurors change in the United States? Because first it was more that looked like me doing that trial with O.J., but after she lost it, I'm talking about the lawyer, she never convinced herself that she had some flaws in her case. It was just, hey, we had too many of them on the jury. Since then, you trace the jurors and how many minorities are on the jurors now from the time O.J. was there until now. It's minimized. And why has it been minimized? You answer that for me.
All right. Well, I will answer that for you. But I'll answer it in this sense. The prosecution and the defense, they both go through the process of eliminating jurors. So they both go through that. So you're saying both the prosecution and the defense are both biased. Each of them, if they have their own bias, it should cancel out. So why would one come out ahead of the other then?
I think that was a reaction of those jurors and the people feeling that, hey, if we get too many of one on the juror, we won't get the justice that we want.
Okay.
Because why? It has backed down since then.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the numbers. It has backed down since then.
Okay.
We've never had that many jurors again. Why not?
Jurors as in number of jurors? What do you mean? You're of racial diversity?
Right, the racial profiling. Why has that backed down since then?
Since the O.J. Simpson case?
Yes.
They get them the same way they did before. Nothing's changed since then. They still do the same process of eliminating jurors like they did then. You know, DJ, thank you for calling in. Yeah. All right. We got to go to break, but we got a couple other calls I want to get to. I got to say, I should respond, but I got to get to break. I'm getting yelled at by my producer, Camo X. All right. Welcome back to Overnight America. We only got a couple minutes here and I want to get to as many calls as I can, but there's just one real quick thing I wanted to say to DJ. And I know I had some time to think about this over the break. And I wanted to say this as, you know, as delicately as possible, because I listen to DJ and he's intelligent. Obviously, he is someone that has studied up on this and he knows how he feels about these certain topics. He knows where he stands. What I'm going to say is if you approach everything in your life that the world is always against you, systematically, everything is set up to make you fail. All I can say is that I can see your point of view. If that's how you feel, I can see that that's why you're approaching things in that point of view. But you know, I can see why you think nothing has changed in the past 60 years, too. If you really think race relations and, you know, we're still living under Jim Crow and everything from 60 years ago is still in place today, then I disagree. You're wrong. But the great thing about America, and I can tell you this, and I hope you agree about this, the great thing about America is that the system that you may be criticizing right now to be racist, systematically racist, or, you know, have some kind of biases or whatever. It's there to, that system's there not only to protect you, but it allows any hindrance that's preventing you to live in the freedoms that is granted to everyone here in America, any hindrance that's stopping you from reaching those freedoms, I'll stand up for you. I'll stand up for those cases, but I have to see proof of it. I'm not coming at it in the same way you are, which is it's just there and it's invisible. You have to show me where these things are happening in order for me to stand with you on those instances. And if that's the case, I'm going to stand for your freedoms. I'm going to stand for all of these things. If there is wrongdoing and there's anything that needs to be defended, I'm going to help you with that. I will. But you can't just say it's there and I'm not seeing it. Because number one, the statistics don't back that up. And number two, we've seen a lot of cases where when there's legitimate cases, we have the boy that's cried wolf syndrome, right? And people blow it off. I do want to get a couple more calls in. Let's go to Dave. Thanks for calling in to Overnight America. What's up?
Oh, not too much. Hey, first of all, I want to tell you I appreciate, you know, your show. You're doing a great job, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
Also, what you said about the mayor was dead on. I mean, what you said about how she presented everything was, I agree with you 100%. And your last caller, I'm going to tell you this, he's wrong about where they send police officers when they're convicted. They go to the same place everybody else does, and I can give you a guy that I know who went there and went through that, and it's not fun. So he's wrong about that, about them going to special places.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to say basically is that I think what might happen and everything else and what the mayor is saying and what people are so frustrated with is you didn't see this for a long time. But when you saw what happened in Ferguson and you saw how it was allowed and just kind of explained as natural and okay, it really struck a chord with a lot of people. Because, I'm a 45-year-old white guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of friends, and there are a lot of good people, all races. But you do grow up with that little thing inside you, like, hey, did I do something wrong, or I shouldn't say it because of this? And when that happened, it was like, okay, a lot of people were like, okay, that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's enough. And so now you have this thing where it's continuing, where it's almost like the relationships between races, blacks and whites, it seems like it's going to get worse because of that. You know what I mean? It's because it's just like, well, no, you can't do it, but they can. And it's not right. You're 100% right of what you said about the justice system. If you've ever been accused of a crime or in charge, I can promise you, black or white, when you're sitting at that defense table, you want them to follow the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want them to do what they're supposed to do, because that's what makes the justice system work. That's, you know, you might not agree with it sometimes,
yeah,
but it's there to protect the innocent person. Sometimes they're not innocent, but that's what it's there for.
Yeah. Dave, we got to go to break, but hey, thank you for your comments. Good to hear from you.
All right, you too.
Yeah. See you. And when it comes to Justice America, that's what we should be rooting for. We want to be able to root for the truth, and that's what I look for. I look, where is the truth in a topic like this? Follow the truth, not your biases. It's Overnight in America. Game over.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.